Special. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 tonight. We learned last time about the martyrdom of John the Baptist and how he gave his life for preaching the truth and standing against sin. And we were challenged that no matter what the world says or does or how people react, that we'll stay faithful to what God says. Not everybody's going to love you for sharing the gospel for them. Not everybody's going to love you for standing the truth, but we need to stand for the truth no matter what the cost, because Jesus Christ is worthy of anything and everything. Mark chapter 6 this evening, we're going to begin studying at verse 30, and we'll take our text from there, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. And we want to learn tonight about a call to rest and compassion to serve. If you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunities we have to serve others in your name. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts that we would serve in a greater way, that we would find our rest in you, and that we would be faithful to the opportunities you give us to do good in the name of Jesus and to do the greatest good in sharing the gospel with everyone. Please convict hearts tonight. Bless that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. In verse 30, you remember he sent them out two by two. And he sent them out and said, don't take anything with you. Go and preach the gospel, and those that will receive will take care of you. And if people won't receive, you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet, go somewhere else. And their refusal, their rejection of the signs and wonders that you do, their rejection ultimately of the gospel, that would be judgment unto them in the last days. And so they come back and they tell the Lord all that they had done. In verse 31, he says unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So we see a call to rest. And we'll notice that he calls for separation and solitude. And then we'll see also that he calls for rest and replenishment. But he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The apostles of Jesus Christ serving with him, and God had given them power to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to do much good work, and he gave them the charge to preach the word of God wherever they were, and people were coming as the apostles came back to where Jesus was. People were coming constantly, coming to be healed, coming to be saved, coming to hear the gospel, coming to have some disease healed or some ailment fixed. And they were coming constantly to the point that Jesus said, you guys need to get out of here for a little while, because they didn't even have time to eat. In other words, they were incredibly busy. Now, I don't want to presume for a moment to elevate our lifestyle and what we're doing today to the level of what the apostles were doing for the kingdom of God. But I will say this, we are very busy people. Anybody feel like they're busy? Some of you are laughing like, I just sit at home. I don't really. But some of us aren't there yet. We're not there yet. Most of you are very, very busy. You're here and there. You got this appointment and that appointment. Husbands and wives meet each other at the door, one coming home and the other one going out the door. And we're very busy, especially if young children, school's fixing to start back up and all of the things going on with school, and very, very busy. And the Lord said that there was a time to come apart. There was a time to rest. There was a time to get some leisure. There's a time just to stop and eat. And I wonder if you ever had one of those days where it turns to be about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, you finally realize you never ate breakfast. And about 4 in the evening, it's time for breakfast if you hadn't had it. Sometimes you get so busy, you don't even take the time to eat. And that's the way they were living. And they weren't just busy about trying to make money or do other things. They were busy ministering to people. They were busy doing good and helping and healing and doing all the good that they could. They were busy preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were so busy that the Lord said, you need to get away. And so he calls them to separation. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. And so it's good for us sometimes to get a little separation. It's good for us sometimes to disconnect. And can I tell you that it's getting very, very hard for us to separate ourselves from the things of this world now because we carry the world around. Some of you carry the world around in your pocket. And I have lots of people that I'm connected with through church camp and churches and work and just my life over the years and schools and college and all of these people. And I care about these people. I like to know what's going on in their lives. And so it's easy to stay connected with them. But sometimes it's important for us to disconnect. Sometimes it's important for us to unplug. Sometimes we need to just separate ourselves from everything else. We need to turn the TV off. We need to turn the phone off. We need to get rid of everything else and get alone with God and His Word. We need to separate ourselves. And we need some solitude. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. And for some of you, getting away from everything else and getting alone is a very, very difficult thing to do. Some of the moms here with little children, they're never alone. I don't want to be crude tonight, but some of you can't even go to the restroom without little fingers sticking under the door. Some of you remember that, don't you? What are you doing in there, Daddy? I mean, sometimes it's hard to get alone, but listen, everybody needs to be intentional about this. And you know when you're starting to get burned out. You know when your emotions are on edge and your attitude is wrong and you're stressed out. And sometimes all you need to do is get away. You need to separate yourselves and you need some solitude. We need to spend some time alone with God. I want to tell you, I remember growing up after I was first saved. I told you I was saved when I was 14. I got baptized when I was 17. And I remember as a young man, I had a lot of time to myself. And we didn't have cell phones and all that kind of stuff. And I'd just get out in the woods. My dad had a cabinet shop. Don't tell him, but I used to go over to that cabinet shop and there was a pop machine there. And I'd climb up on the roof and I'd get up on the roof of that thing and I'd be up there alone. I get away from everything and get away from everybody else or go sit on the pond bank and just get alone. And I'm going to tell you, we just don't do that anymore. We've always got stuff going on, always got people around. And I'm not saying you need to disappear for months or weeks or even days at a time, but sometimes you just need to take a little while, an hour, and get alone. We need that separation. We need that solitude. Jesus Christ spent a lot of time alone with his Father in heaven. He went away from everybody else. He'd get up early, long before daylight, and he would go into a solitary place, a lonely place, and he would get alone with his Heavenly Father. And if Jesus needed alone time, how much more do we need alone time? So the separation, the solitude, and then he said to get rest and replenishment. He said, go and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. He said, you need to rest. You've been giving and giving and giving, and you need to stop for a little while. You just need to rest for a little while. You need to sit down and catch your breath and get a drink of water and just rest and don't do anything. Some of you, the hardest thing in the world for you to do is nothing. Some of you, you can't turn your brain off and you can't turn your hands off and you can't stop. You always got to go, 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 go. And God says sometimes you need to rest. You need to rest. And then he says, you need replenishment. They hadn't even had time to eat. He said, you need to go. You need to rest a while. You need to eat something. You need to get refueled. And spiritually, friends, we desperately need time alone with God to rest and to replenish ourselves in the Word of God. It's vital. It's vital. It's vital for you. It's vital for me. It's vital for all of us because we have to have something to give. You got to I don't know if some of you haven't learned this yet, but if you don't put fuel in your car, eventually it'll run out of gas. Stop running. Some of you still haven't learned that lesson. I grew up with a cousin who ran out of gas as much as he stopped at a gas station. It was an amazing thing. They put this gauge right there in the dash panel. And I think he got confused between the E and the F. He didn't know which what was what. I don't think that truck ever saw the F. It just quarter of a tank to empty was all it spent. You know what happens for us spiritually and emotionally, mentally? We get burned out. We run out of fuel. And we've got to stop and get alone with God. I think it's so important for us every day to spend alone time with God, but there are seasons when life is busy, seasons when ministry is difficult, seasons when you're giving and giving and giving, and if you don't replenish, you're not going to be able to be any good to the kingdom of God. They had no leisure so much as to eat, verse 32 says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And so they had been ministering, they'd been working, they'd been giving, they'd been serving, they'd been healing and bringing people to Christ. And they said, Jesus said, I want you to get out of here for a little while. So they get in a ship and they privately, they didn't say, hey guys, we're going to go over here. They quietly went and kind of snuck and got in the ship and took off. And that was the end of it, right? Look at verse 33. And the people saw them departing. And many knew him. And ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. So when Jesus said, I want you guys to get out of here and get alone for a little while, they got in the ship to go and be alone for a little while. And when the people saw him leave, they ran. It was about a four-mile trip across the sea. It was over 8 miles to go around. And the people went on foot and outran them, not all the people, but the ones who were younger and faster and were able, ran ahead and beat them to the other side. Do you ever feel like you just can't get away? Well, that's exactly what the problem was for Jesus and his apostles. And verse 34 says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now is the time, it is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Isn't Jesus amazing? You guys are tired. Haven't even had a chance to eat. We need to get away for a little while. We need to go to a solitary place. We need to rest. We need to be replenished. But the people outran and came around, and when he saw them, I want you to go back and see verse 34 again. When he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherding, began to teach them many things. So the people, when they saw Jesus go with his disciples, they said, we don't want to get away from him. We know who he is, and we want to follow him. And so they ran all the way around to meet up with him. And they were waiting for him there when he came out of the ship. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. You see, there's a call to rest. But you'll notice for Jesus Christ, the compassion is there to serve. He loves therefore he gives. He loves, therefore he serves. He loves, therefore he blesses. I want to take just a little side trip with you for just a second, if you would please, because I stumbled across something in studying for this that is just amazing to me, and I'd never seen it before. But he had compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And this is an expression that's used many times in the Old Testament. When David prayed for God's people, he prayed that God would take care of them, that God wouldn't abandon them, because he didn't want the people to be as a sheep without shepherd. And then Ezekiel, he prophesies in Ezekiel chapter 34. I want you to look at this with me, Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 4. Because we've read already multiple times this phrase, that Jesus had compassion on the multitude, that Jesus was moved with compassion. And the reason is given every time. He was moved with compassion because they were a sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. And Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And Ezekiel's prophesying against the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of Israel, the ones who were to care for God's people. This would be the priests and the rulers of the people. And he was condemning them for their lack of care for the sheep. God's shepherds that he set up were not caring for the sheep of Israel. Get this. But God would send a shepherd one day that would care for the sheep of Israel. Look at verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Jesus said, the word of God says, Ezekiel says, my sheep were scattered because there's no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And listen, what Jesus is saying is, when I look out at the people and they're lost and they're broken and they're sick and spiritually they're dying. He said it's like sheep that have been scattered and they're left alone. Listen, when the shepherd abandons the sheep all die. Sheep without a shepherd are as good as dead. And mankind without Jesus Christ is already dead. And so when Jesus saw the people, he didn't just say, oh, they're sick or oh, they're hurting. He said, no, the beast is taking my people. And friends, when we look out at the world today, people without Jesus Christ, they're sheep without a shepherd. They are given over to the beast. They have no hope because they have no one to protect them from the attacks of the devil. I'm just trying to tell you today that when we look out in our community, we don't just need to see people that are living in sin and people who we might look down on and judge. We don't need to just see people who maybe they're doing well financially, but they don't know the Lord. We need to just see everybody for what they are without Christ. They're sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw them that way, he was moved with compassion. He said they're diseased and they're not healed. They're sick and they're not bound up. They're driven away and nobody brings them back in. They're lost and nobody will find them. They're scattered. They're meat to the beasts. And verse 6 says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will deliver them out of all the places, out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. There's a lot to that prophecy, and Israel was given into bondage because of their sin, and they would be brought back from being scattered back to Jerusalem physically, but I believe there's so much more to that prophecy. Jesus said, I came to seek, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And he said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. When he saw those people, he was moved with compassion toward them. And friend, we are but sheep. But we have the privilege of leading the lost sheep to the shepherd. Do you get that? When we look out into our community, we see people that are lost, see people that are dying in their sin. We can go to them and bring them to the good shepherd, the one that can heal their sickness, the one that can bind up their broken bones, the one that can mend their broken heart, the one that can put them all together and make them whole. We get to be the ones to bring them to the good shepherd. And so when he saw them, he was moved with compassion on them. And what did he do? He began to teach them many things. But what did he teach them? Well, I'll tell you one thing he taught them was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He taught them to believe the gospel. He taught them that he was the great I am. And he began to teach them many things to the point that the day was far spent. The people didn't have anything to eat. It's interesting in John's account, in John chapter 6 and verse 5, it says it like this: when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. By the way, Jesus always knew what he would do. So he asked Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? You got all these people, it's too late in the day, what are we going to do? Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And you might say, a pennyworth, well, that's not much. In the New Testament, you see the word pence, or you'll see the word penny or pennyworth, and it's the Greek word that is denarii, and it was one denarii, one penny was one day's wages. And so he said, 200 days' wages wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. There's a lot of people there. Philip said, Lord, if I saved up for 8 months, I wouldn't have enough to buy enough bread for all these people. But the Lord asked him the question, not because he didn't know what he would do, but because he wanted to prove him. Verse 8 in John 6, 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And the Lord said, well, just have the men sit down. Have the men sit down in companies among the green grass. Put them by hundreds and by fifties. And bring me the bread and the fishes. And they brought the lad's little lunch. And they brought it to Jesus. And he took that little lunch and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he blessed it. And then he broke it and he handed it to his his disciples, and they began to pass out the food to the people. And the Lord continued to break it and give it out, and it continued to multiply. You know, I've always wondered exactly how it worked. Didn't you? I mean, did all that food just appear in the baskets the disciples had, or as Jesus broke a piece off and laid it in a basket, did it just grow back and he broke off another piece? Now, you people don't think about that kind of stuff, but that's the kind of thing that keep me awake at night. How did he do that? How did that happen exactly? But I know this, that the disciples that he had called to get away and rest for a while because they didn't have even time to eat were now carrying baskets full of fish and bread and handing it out to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, no, 5,000 men plus the women and children. And they had to go around and dole out all that food and serve and minister. And what a testimony for us. That friends, no matter how tired you get, and yes, it's important that we'd come aside and rest, and yes, it's important that we'd rest and be replenished, but when the opportunity comes to serve, don't be too tired, don't be too lazy, don't be too weary, but step up and do the work that's before you. Because there are special opportunities. Can you imagine what it was like for them for the rest of their lives? And they had short-term memory loss, and sometimes they would forget because Jesus would say, did you forget about the 4,000? Did you forget about the 5,000? But just imagine what it was like for them. Can you imagine what it was like to know that there was just this little bit of food and Philip out there carrying basket after basket after basket after basket until over 5,000, the 5,000 men plus the women and children had all had plenty to eat and everybody's leaning back away? Because that's what you do when you're full. You lean back from the table, right? And they go around and gather up the fragments because the Lord says, we don't want to waste anything. And they gather up 12 baskets of fragments, 12 baskets full. Listen, this isn't just some cute little kid song. This is the true word of God. And there's so many lessons that we can learn about how God can take a little bit and accomplish so much. But I want to tell you this. Give a little to the Lord and he can turn it into a lot. But it all comes from the Lord's compassion to serve others. So every day, we have opportunities to serve. Every day, we need to get away and rest and replenish ourselves in the Lord. Every day, there needs to be some separation and some solitude. Every day, some rest and replenishment. And every day, we have opportunities to serve. And can I just remind you tonight that those apostles had abilities to do incredible miracles, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to make the blind to see. And they had been charged by Jesus Christ himself to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus. And not one of them was too good to serve a table. Not one of them was too good to hand out some bread and fish. Friends, we've got opportunities to serve every day. We need to take those opportunities, esteem others better than ourselves, and do good to others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get ready for an invitation tonight. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Maybe you're running yourself ragged right now, and you're meeting yourself coming and going, and you're so busy, and you're so connected all the time. Maybe tonight you just need to ask God to help you disconnect. Unplug. Turn off that phone. Turn off all that media. Get rid of all that stuff for a little while and get alone with God every day. Maybe you've passed up some opportunities to serve. You've seen needs and you haven't had compassion that moved you to do something. Maybe we need to repent of not serving like we should. I don't know what the burden might be on your heart tonight. But I pray every person here would do this, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you would obey his word. If he's convicting your heart, you come right now while we sing.
Page 281.
281.